Previously on Steambox Versus, Bruce Leroy, the last dragon, shared the glow. The Iron Sheik broke backs and made us humble. Michio Kaku showed us how to find dark matter. Samus and Megarad led a rap battle for the ages, and we plunged into virtual reality in Ready Player One. Will Steambox make it back to Ghibli in Japan? Will the Boston Celtics dunk on us? Will the Dragon Ball Z narrator ever join the crew? Stay tuned and find out on Steambox Versus.
Hey, this is Roberto. You're back with another Steambox podcast. Today, I'm with the Warriors from Central Falls. Warriors from Central Falls, please say what's up to the world.
What's up?
I like how you cover your own ears to protect yourself, but yell in all of our ears. I appreciate it. I did ask for energy. Today, we have a lot going on. We have Cindy Lou with us. Cindy Lou's back. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
She's a RISD graduate. She caught everybody's attention last time because she was like, she designed all by herself the BattleBot robot that won and killed everybody else. That's about accurate.
Wait, hold on.
All right. Maybe I exaggerated a little bit, but you were involved somehow in the BattleBot competitions that were on TV. And she's working with us a little bit as we're getting into game design. So Cindy, welcome. I'm happy to have you back. We also have somebody who worked for Steambox while they were a student, got paid, did a lot of cool stuff, helped make our programs multilingual so that young students can build robots with us. Desi, welcome back.
Hi. Wow, during my intro, that's crazy.
I'm so happy that you are back. But today's special guest is the honorable Judge Dione Garcia. Dione is a housing court judge. Is that accurate?
Yeah, for the time being, sure.
A housing court judge in the city of Providence. Also, Dione and I go way back. We've been friends for a long time. And here's one more important thing about Dione that you should all know. When I was starting Steambox with students helped me build Steambox, I needed to build a board. And the one thing, because I don't know much about building a board, I still don't. And I don't know if you do, but I learned from Spider-Man that your board can just crush your organization. It happened to the Green Goblin, right? Like, he's like, oh, profits are up. And they were like, well, good, we're selling your company now. I didn't want that. I needed somebody I could trust. So obviously I went to, Dione helped us build Steambox. He was one of the first Steambox board members. He is Steambox blood through and through. Welcome back home, Dione.
Hello. That's all you got.
Oh.
I felt like you tossed it out to me. It was like, there wasn't a lot for me to work with there. Thanks.
Yeah, this is going to be fascinating for our audience.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I like how you were able to say something nice but throw in a certain amount of shade.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great.
I would say that it wouldn't be our relationship
if
it wasn't 80% love, 20% shade.
Fair enough.
Forgive me if my math is wrong on the ratio.
Absolutely. All right. I gotcha.
All right. We'll take it. We'll take it.
But we're starting anew in our relationship right now. This is a new phase. This is post-pandemic.
New phase. Still 20%
shade. This is new Rob.
It wouldn't be fun if it wasn't
20% shade. You have the man bun Rob. This is a new iteration of Rob that I feel like, I appreciate.
Old school people who know me from the before times tell people who know me in the now times, and then I got to answer questions about why my DJ name was Mr. Goodbar and why I shaved my head for like half my life and why all of these other things. And I have to answer so many questions. I did not consider the danger and terror threat that you provide to me despite putting you in front of these students.
I got nothing but good things to say about you, Rob. I'm sure. Nothing but positive things.
I'm going to be nice.
Absolutely.
For the rest of the podcast.
We're starting new.
Where the absolutely bodies are buried.
So. That's right. That's right. So what's going on here? Like, how does this usually work?
Well, how this usually works is we bring on people that we really respect. We've got directors, movie stars, really other people. But since we couldn't get any of them today, we decided to bring in Judge Dione Garcia. Actually, how it worked is, to be perfectly honest, the sophomore class president, Naya, from Central Falls, who's not here at the moment, She last year requested that we bring a judge in for a conversation. I believe you know the judge. I believe she's a friend of yours. Judge or lawyer, I forget. And we had an excellent conversation with her. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, you don't remember her name?
Oh, I definitely remember her name. This is trick. I'm trying to make sure you remember.
Wait, I just want to put on the record that Rob does not remember the East Providence Municipal Court judge that was on his show.
I got hit in the head too many times.
Fair enough.
Football.
So it was Lisette Gomes.
Yes, Lisette Gomes. That's the correct answer.
That's right.
I'm glad you got it right.
Ding, ding. Yeah, sure.
That was a really good conversation. And here's what I find interesting. And I hope you do too, about world-renowned physicist Michio Kaku. Earlier this year, we had a director of a movie called Psycho Gorman, who was making a movie based on Doom video game. Great conversation. Actors, all these other people, Ernie Klein, who wrote Ready Player One. We've had some really lucky, like, amazing, dope guests. We had Jessica Vega, another Dominican prominent figure from Central Falls, on a different podcast earlier today. With all of those people rotating through here on this podcast, Lewis, one of our top stars, who started his own podcast called Steambox After Dark. Lewis decided that he thought it was a great conversation with the judge. He wanted to have another conversation with the judge. And I remember being criticized last year for picking Lisette Gomes instead of our homegrown Dione Garcia.
Who was giving you...
Who said that you should be on the podcast instead? Dione Garcia said that. It was you.
I don't recall that. What I do recall is listening to the podcast and people are like, hey, did you hear this podcast that Rob's on where he talks trash about you? And so I think that's how it came to my attention. And so what I said was, you know, if you want to talk trash, you know, keep the same energy if you want to. And you have, to your credit, you have kept the same energy.
You
are now talking trash to my face.
Even though you know where the bodies are.
Yeah.
I hope that Judge Lisette Gomes hears at least a snippet of this so that she knows.
She's great. I have nothing bad to say about her. She's great. There's no air quotes here. Lisette Gomes.
Last year, the words you used was, why are you having a second rate?
That is not accurate at all. I up here before her. So no, I absolutely did not say that.
That is a lie. We're going to leave comments for Dione, at Dione Garcia, if you want to question those circumstances. Anyway, it was a student who said,
I appreciate
we should interview another judge.
Yeah.
We have one who's right in, you know, Steambox Central. You are Steambox, so I'm so happy to have you here. I'm going to start with Chloe for first question. This is one of my homies, Chloe. Chloe, what's your question for Dione?
I wanted to know, how difficult was it for you to go through law school?
Law school was not great. So you hear folks talk about study habits and to form good study habits early. I never form good study habits. So I was always, a healthy dose of procrastination, a heavy dose of over-preparing. I did not have the greatest of times. So it's one of those things where law school is built in such a way where you have to get through law school. It doesn't necessarily prepare you to how to be a lawyer necessarily. But you are, it is an obstacle that you need to overcome more or less to get to what you ultimately want to be. So if you go to law school, the hope is that you want to be a lawyer. It's not worth it unless that's your end. Some folks go to law school because they don't know what else to do with themselves for 3 years and they decide to take a break and do law school. That is not a healthy thing to do. But all in all, I don't regret having done it. But it was quite a bit of work. So a lot of reading, a lot of writing, a lot of late nights. I'm also not as smart as other folks, so I had to over-prepare and overcompensate in that regard. And so at the end of the day, though, I got through it. So do you have an interest in law school by any chance?
I thought about it like once or twice and changed my mind.
What makes you change your mind?
I want to go into forensic pathology.
Yes, that's a whole other direction, huh? All right. Well, if you swing back the lawyer side, Rob knows how to get in touch with me. Maybe we'll get you a new lawyer out of you. Yeah.
I'll put you in touch with a great judge, or Dione. What is your question for Judge Garcia?
What is the most interesting case that you presided over?
So I'm actually a housing court judge, and so they're not interesting per se. So I was a prosecutor for a while, and then I went into criminal defense and then municipal, a lot of municipal law type stuff with what I do now. civil things. There's a lot of interesting cases there. A lot of them aren't necessarily appropriate to talk about in a podcast full of high schoolers. But the one thing with the, you know, your question was what most interesting case I presided over. There was a property behind Classical and Central that's been abandoned since I was a student in Classical and Central. And that property came before me as a housing court case. And there was some desire to let that play out over months. Like they were asking for like a 6-month continuance, an 8-month continuance. And I feel like I was able to, you know, keep the reins a little tight on that case. And I got it to a point where the house is, you know, visibly rehabbed at the moment. Not the house, it's a property, it's a building. But at the time, the property was falling apart. Like, it was going to fall over. And so giving it a 6-month continuance, a year continuance, it just didn't sit right. It's an abandoned property behind two high schools. It's been like that for a decade and change. And so I was able to, you know, put some pressure in that regard to get something done. So that was pretty, you know, nice to have done. Yeah.
I have a second question, too.
Go for it.
Since you and Roberto have history, what's the wildest Roberto story? You know, get back in here for the comments before us, you know?
Wildest Roberto story.
He met me after college, so he probably doesn't have...
Yeah, I don't have the wildest. He hyped that up just so that I could have a flat moment. what I do remember... And I think you've changed because, like, health-wise, I think you had to. You had, like, an unhealthy obsession with Coca-Cola. So this guy was like, I want a Coca-Cola shirt. He had a Coca-Cola hat. He had Coca-Cola shoes. It was all Coca-Cola. And it was almost like if you see him out and about, he was drinking. He had a cup in his hand. It was Coca-Cola. It'd be like no ice Coke. He strikes me as a person who drank Coca-Cola warm just to get the fizz in his beard. He was that guy.
Ice dilutes it. You want water in my Coke?
Right. So aside from that, that's not necessarily salacious, but it was weird.
Judge Garcia confirms Roberto Gonzalez Cokehead. Is that the headline?
That's the headline.
Changes to Coke addict.
All right. So I don't have a lot of Coke merch. I probably do have a shirt.
Did I just say Coca-Cola? I want to be clear for the fans in Ireland. This is Coca-Cola that we're talking about.
But obviously kidding. Melanie, what is your question for Judge Garcia?
Before you became a judge, what was something that you wanted to become?
So let me go back a little bit. So I am, it's a part-time judgeship. So I'm only a housing court judge part-time. I'm a full-time attorney. So I kind of have a separate gig altogether. When folks ask me, if I had to be really honest, when people ask me what would I want to do, other than being a lawyer or a judge or whatever, it is, if money was no object, it would be to do absolutely nothing. Just kind of like nothing. Just get up in the morning, I'll be productive, but I don't have to be anywhere. I don't have to do anything. So that would be the dream, but that's not going to happen. So immigrant blood in me, I'm probably going to work right up until my last minute. So that's just going to be my fate. I wanted to be a lawyer kind of late in life. I didn't know what to do. And I was kicking around the idea of maybe law school at the end of college. And then I pulled the trigger on that. And then for most of my life, there was these, goals that I was trying to obtain from, you know, placement in a middle school, placement in a high school, trying to get into college and then getting through college. And then ultimately that was getting through law school. Then after law school, you got to get a bar exam. After the bar exam, you're trying to get a job. And now within the legal field, there's a lot of levels you can hit in different areas of law that if I wanted to pivot, I could go to. So I think that I am in a good position now that if I had to make a pivot within the legal field, I'll probably do that. If my attention is pulled in one direction or another. Did that answer your question? I feel like I, yeah. What do you want to do?
I want to be a nurse practitioner.
Very practical and a useful thing to do. there is a nurse shortage in Rhode Island. There's a shortage in just about everything. So there's a nurse shortage. There's a teacher shortage. There is not a lawyer shortage. that's a good answer. All right. Why do you want to be a nurse practitioner?
Because I want to help people. And like my mom, she also, like, is in the medical field, so.
Okay. So that's funny you mentioned that, because that was kind of my calculation, or you know, continues to be my calculation when I went to law, which was when I was deciding what to do in college, I saw like, all right, well, who are all the important people out in like society, like, you know, politicians and, you know, officials here or there. It seemed the common thread, a lot of them were lawyers. And so in my mind, I kind of thought for me to be impactful, I had to be a lawyer. It's not necessarily the case. It's not. I know a lot of impactful folks, you know, friends, you know, contemporaries that didn't get a law degree. But it was part of my calculation to be in a position to change things for the better was certainly part of that motivation. So that's good, though. I like that.
I didn't see lawyer when I first met you and when I knew you younger.
Mm.
You're smarter than you give yourself credit for. And I expected, like I could see engineer. I could see.
I closed that door really early because I'm really bad. I actually started college when I went to URI was as an undeclared engineer major. And I figured that I could pick up math and science along the way because I was like, I'll figure it out. I'm horrible in math and science.
Yeah.
Horrible. I almost failed out of college my first semester. And URI has a program where you could redo certain classes. And they could take over, you take the class over again, and that new grade will place the old grade. So, but for that, I would have had a horrible GPA. But I took calculus for the first time and I failed. I needed an 89 to get like a C minus on the final. And I remember, I thought I studied. I didn't really study. I look backward, I wasn't really studying that hard. I realized it was all gibberish to me. And so at one point I write at the end of my exam, "Professor, I really can't fail this class. And there's no reason why you wouldn't fail me based on this exam. If you could please show some mercy and not fail me."
Wow.
Signed, Dione Garcia, and I handed it to the test. And so I remember you had to go get the exam at
That's
the end of the semester.
That's a very lawyer thing to do. These
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it didn't work. So I remember having to go get the exam at the end of the semester, and the guy looked at me with so much pity that I was like, all right, I got to switch majors. Just because of the way that guy looked at me, was like, sorry, man, you suck. You suck tremendously. And yeah, it was an F.
Lawyers have a reputation, right? Like when people think of lawyers, it's a bad reputation. People think of scumbags to some degree. People think of swindlers. I don't know. I don't always associate Dion Garcia.
Sure. But
that's why. But honestly, that's not the person I knew. I didn't know the person who fits those stereotypes, even though I grew up with lawyers.
Yeah.
Right. So even though I grew up with lawyers.
Right. Your father's a lawyer.
But my father, who I have a great relationship with now, is stuffy. He's a stuffy person. He's a lawyer because he's mission-driven, and he wants to help undocumented people find a pathway.
Sure.
So he's doing it for a mission, and I almost feel like he is an exception. And I bet every lawyer has their own exception mission in their
head. Want to know something else I have in common with your father?
What's that?
Aside from being lawyers?
And the housing court?
Housing court. He was the first Latino judge in Rhode Island. Did you know that? He's the very first Latino judge in all of Rhode Island was Roberto Gonzalez Sr., Providence Housing Court judge way back when. He was the chief judge, I think, too, of the Providence Housing Court. And it just seems to be the pattern that they'll have one Latino at a time at the Providence Housing Court.
Of course.
We'll see if we'll break that pattern eventually, but we'll... And look, it's not looking too good.
Well, okay, I'm happy that you said that because that reminds me that somebody else who I never would have, like you, I guess, okay, I see it now because you're living it and successful at it. I never in a million years would have picked one of the other two Latino housing court judges in that interim. And one of them was probably one of your professors.
Yeah, so both of them were mayors of Providence. So Angel Tavares, first, you know, Latino mayor of the city of Providence, he was the second Latino judge within the housing court. And then the third was Jorge Alorza, who also became mayor subsequent to that, was a housing court judge as well.
So two things here. One, to wrap up that first point, Jorge was the class clown. In high school. And I say that, in fact, I have a good relationship with Jorge now. In high school, he was the furthest thing from a future mayor or housing court judge. And I never would have pegged that. But now we have secession, right? We've got my dad. We've got Tavares. We've got Elorza. And then you. And then Tavares and Elorza went on to become mayors of the city of Providence,
mm-hmm.
which leaves you one of two positions to fill. So you have to pick. Are you going to be the mayor of Providence or are you going to be my dad?
He is dad.
The way you phrase that, that's the way it sounded like.
Be my dad.
Like, all right, you want like a Pedro Pascal moment? Like, come over here, buddy.
Be nice.
All right.
There'd be a house left to me.
Yeah.
You'd have to go.
What was it, the line yesterday that made everybody cry? Did you guys watch The Last of Us?
Not watch The Last of Us last night.
Oh, then not. Yeah. Then not. All right.
I cried during a Chris Rock special this week out of laughter.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. We'll touch base again.
So,
as of this moment.
So there is a line. There's a direct line and dots that have been connected to you in your position and representing the brown people of Providence, Rhode Island, as mayor of the city.
Yeah. Not going to be mayor anytime soon. This is a newly elected mayor now, so he'll have 4 years for sure.
But he's a chump. He's not Dominican. What's happening?
So the way I look at it right now, my taxes might go up. I don't know who listens to this podcast. It might get back. But my
you also work for the dude, right? Like,
in a way. For now. Well, technically, it's a different branch, but yeah, it's a mayoral appointment. I'll put it this way: I feel like there's a lesson to be learned when we think about harnessing our potential. Like we've talked about, like Central Falls. It wasn't too long ago where Central Falls never had a Latino mayor. And so it's relatively recent history, despite the fact that we've had a strong Colombian population in Central Falls since the 70s. We didn't get James Joseph as mayor until, like, what? That was in, 2010s?
Yeah-ish.
Yeah, and so this idea that we collectively don't... We have a lot more there that we need to kind of get better at, to move more collectively. Now, when I remember when Mayor Diosa was running for office, that was a collective effort. There was Latinos from all across the state that came down to Central Falls to help volunteer on his behalf. And I don't think we have that same energy all the time, which is unfortunate because we should be better represented in the General Assembly and municipal government. And so we have the capital city. We had two Latino mayors in a row. I was, could have been three in a row. Didn't work out that way. The people chose somebody else. That's great. But just by and large, just even outside that race, we should be doing better. So right now, judge wise, we have two Latinos in the state bench. One's a magistrate, Alberto Cardona, who's, has ties, strong ties to Central Falls himself. He's have his own office here and subsequently, gave up his private practice to become a family court magistrate. That was the first. Then we have Elizabeth Ortiz, also who has Central Falls ties, who is the first family court judge, Latina family court judge. That's two. That's it on the state level. There's no more other Latino judges. And the way judges get picked, either in the municipal level and on the state level, there is an element of politics involved. And whether or not you have the political capital to push through folks who are qualified in those positions. And we probably could do better in that regard, for sure.
So, but your position is relatively low profile enough compared to mayor.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Jorge get roasted because he looks like us. He looks like the people in this room. This is a brown person who's mayor of the city. And whenever Go Local will publish an article about anything he does, this dude could have saved a kitten out of a tree, right? Jorge saves kitten. And because they are a-holes, Go Local is going to have this picture of Jorge where it looks like his mugshot. And then the comment section to the article, Jorge Elorza saves kitten from tree, is going to be like, he should go back to his own country and all of this other stuff. Like, those are a lot of the things that come with it.
I feel like it's kind of a setup. You're trying to fit me up against the mayor of Providence, and now you're trying to get me beef with Go Local. But listen,
I'm not. They've been really nice to Steambox too, and they could still be assholes, right? Like, you could be nice to us and still be assholes. And you, I'm not putting words in your mouth.
Sure.
But I'm just saying there's a lot that comes with that.
I think generally speaking, Rob, there's two ways of looking at it. You can look at it from the perspective of it's unfair, woe me, or there's a certain level of responsibility when it comes to that. So, for example, any program, any job that you decide to do in the future, and you may very well be the first, you know, Latino, you know, person of color, immigrant, whatever the case may be in that position, you now are responsible to set the example for everyone else who follows you. It's an unbelievable, unfair burden to put on folks, but anything that you do, all your movements right now, you shouldn't look at it from the perspective of just me. You should look at it from the perspective of the folks that are going to follow you. I don't know if people have younger siblings, if you have younger cousins, but it could be the kid you don't know who's going to be sitting in that chair in 5 years. What you do now and how you move now is going to impact how they move and what opportunities they have. And so that's certainly true in the legal profession, certainly true in the education space, as I indicated. I imagine I was in that space for a little bit.
You mentioned Northwest earlier, and I was there for the pushback and the challenging to him being a housing court judge and a lot of the negativity and a lot of the stuff that came. And I was like, all right.
Could I just interject? Your father's has been nothing but so nice to me, like an angelic mentor figure.
I believe you. I also think you didn't burn a hole in his car seat. You know what I mean?
For the first couple of years, he gave me candy every time he saw me. I don't know if you...
Did you get in the van?
No, I don't know where you're going right now. Hey, easy. All right.
My dad had a van.
You've been worse. You've been worse. That's your fault.
No, I did. I think what I'm saying is
I would get in a van if Roberto Gonzalez Sr. asked me, you know, if I wanted to get in. Absolutely.
What if I wanted to give you?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. A man with a man bun pulls up and goes, "Hey, get in my van. I am calling the police." I'm calling the police.
I think what I'm saying is we all have parents, and we all had that moment where we're mad at our parents.
Sure.
For whatever reason, we can think of like whatever it was. Right now, is that what you're thinking of? My parents. Oh, go ahead. You have a question? Yeah. I thought you were saying, oh, yeah, me. I can. We've all had those moments. So I've seen my dad be a jerk. I've seen my dad, you know, have his moment. Like, he's seen me at my weakest and dumbest moments. But for community, he was mission driven.
Sure.
He did a lot of work. So to see all the negativity and hatred was wild. And to try to justify it and say why and how come other people in similar positions don't have a community forum of hatred, that was super interesting to me. And it seems like things got worse, you know, with social media and stuff over time for other people. So it's wild. I was just wondering if that was part of your political, like if that was almost a factor in...
The factor with politics for me is I like politics quite a bit. My thing is it takes money to run. And even with the folks that we've seen run recently, they had a little bit of a nest egg that they threw in.
Yeah.
And I am holding on to every nickel that I have right now in the hopes of maybe buying a house. And I don't see myself, that's something I have to scratch on. And that is a goal that is becoming harder and harder for everyone, myself included. And so I don't see myself even contemplating something like that until I get certain life check marks off. And then even then, I don't know. Because one of the things with running for office, with anybody who runs for office, you have to raise money from people that you know, people you don't know. You have to, you know, quite frankly, you know, have the smile and be friendly to every single person, whether you feel like it or not. And you got to put yourself out there and make yourself vulnerable to criticism in every aspect of your life. You kind of give up your privacy in a way when you do that. That's a lot for anybody to do. I applaud anybody who puts their name on a ballot, quite frankly. There's very credible folks, not so credible folks who do it, but to even put your name on the ballot takes quite a bit.
I want to know how long you guys have known each other, because you guys keep talking about how your dad treated you for years and his dad treated you for years and all that. So I want to know how long you guys have known each other.
Probably not as long as it sounds.
Yeah, probably sounds good. And by the way, I knew his father during law school. I met his father during law school. And so law school, I mean, I was, at that point, we're already talking about, I graduated in 2012. So that's been 10 years.
It sounded like he was a kid.
Yeah.
Candy.
Yeah.
Like when he's, my dad.
I was a law student and I was, you know, I
didn't think my dad had that tactic. Also, my dad never gave me candy. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
He gave you plenty of Coca-Cola, apparently, though.
He had plenty of Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Interesting. I would say me and his sister were almost inseparable. We were like best friends kind of thing. Really close homies. And just like we work in mutual fields, we were working together for a while.
Had to be like 2008-ish.
2008 is when you saw me at my job and said, hey, I'm working here. This should be your job when I leave. Like, you should do this.
Oh, so we probably had a call. So maybe 2006.
I would say probably around 06.
Yeah.
Yes.
When were you guys born, by the way?
05.
I figured the minute you said that, some people were like, yeah, someone else more.
We haven't known each other in a long time. Basically just all your life. Melanie number one. You're Melanie. You get Melanie. You don't even need her a number. Melanie, you are number one. What's your question for Judge Garcia?
My question is, what's the risk that you're happy you took?
Law school was a risk. I'm happy I took that risk. I think that, that was a big risk. I didn't know if I was going to do well or not. There's something that a lot of folks, especially first-gen folks, do, that they do a lot of the imposter syndrome type of thing, where throughout law school, until I started getting like results back, the back of my mind was like, I don't belong here. I'm going to fail out. And throughout law school, I had a little bits of that, but stuck through it, got through law school, got through the bar exam. Going to law school is a big enough risk as it is, but the point of going to law school is to passing the bar exam so you can practice law, and that's not a guarantee. And so that was a pretty big leap of faith in myself that I definitely doubted myself along the way, but it worked out.
You called yourself a bad student. You went from bad student to...
Still a bad student.
You from bad student to, I'm going to go to law school. I could see why that's...
So the way I did it was... it's all about... When I switched majors, I enjoyed what I switched my major to, which is poli-sci and history. And I enjoyed that so well that I kind of turned that around. I got my GPA up significantly. But when I said I'm a bad student in law school, I had bad study habits.
Okay.
And so instead of, you know, kind of addressing, I put it this way, I would go into the law school library like at 7 in the morning when it opened, and I would leave like at midnight. And it's because I felt like I had to spend that amount of time in order to feel confident that I knew the material. And I think that if I had better study habits, I could have condensed that down. I knew people who went to law school with kids. I knew people who had full-time jobs during law school. I had none of those things, and I was still putting in 12-hour days. And it's not like I was acing everything. It was just one of those things. My study habits are trash. And I wish I had focused on that when I was younger. Because at this point, it is what it is. No pressure.
All right, next up, what is your question for Judge Garcia?
So my question would be, was there any cases that you felt like pity to any, either the defendant or the accuser of?
Yeah, so so when the housing court realm, the majority of the folks that I saw were like older folks that maybe got, you know, behind on fixing the property and because they couldn't afford it or just because they were physically not able to do it, that it just kind of got away from them. And in criminal court, when I was doing, you know, both on the defense side and on the prosecution side, you definitely feel bad about everyone involved. No one is in a good position there. They're a victim. You're asking them to give you an account of a bad thing that happened to them in their life. And if you're a defendant, it was when you're at the lowest point or not a good place in their lives either. And so you're not seeing anyone on their best And so, yeah, that does wear on you quite a bit, just on the both sides of that, because that's endless. That's if you go into a district court, either in Providence or in Kent or wherever, it's an endless flow of cases that come in, and all of them are, for the most part, sad situations all the way around. So, yeah.
And you ever just be Robin Hood as a judge and just be like, yeah, F it. They're good. As long as somebody's not like outrageously trashing the place.
Yeah, no. So the way I look at it is there is, especially in the housing court sense, there is no Robin Hood lane. Because if someone is not taking care of their property to the point where they're bringing in rats because they're leaving trash out, or there's the property owners who need to fumigate but aren't, the collateral consequences of not maintaining the property are felt by the neighbors, by the people who live in the neighborhood, by right. tenants that live there.
Yeah.
So there's no situation where I look at it and be like, you know what? We're going to let this one slide because, you know, I'm feeling generous today. It's a sense of responsibility, especially with the housing court.
I was thinking about tenants.
Yeah.
We're straight just money problems. Just
I don't see tenants.
Okay.
So housing court is just owners. Property owners. Tenants could be cited, but it's for property violations. Zoning violations, so you're running a restaurant out of your single family house.
Not evictions. Where do they go?
That would be district court on the civil side.
Got it.
So those are very statutory. So I don't think that judges have much flexibility there. If you meet all the requirements, you could delay it a little bit, but the person's out when they're out.
I just always want to know how to break a system. Our resident genius, who was just citing Pi, right? Like breaking down Pi.
To the 70th digit, I think.
And last week in the trivia that we did a trivia game, and he just crushed it. He just, like, everybody was shocked because some of the answers were so precise. Like, this was a game about estimating the closest answer without going over. And this dude, imagine being on Price is Right and him just knowing the price of everything. That's what this activity was like. What's your, his name is Noah. Shout out to Noah. Noah, what is your question for Judge Garcia?
So as like a judge and a lawyer, like someone who's so involved in law, I'm curious, are there any parts of the system or specific laws that you disagree with?
Laws that I disagree with. A quick example would be, it's not that I say like disagree with, I just feel like there could be a better way. There's a lot of zoning violations, I guess is what it will fall under, it's like somebody has an extra apartment that they built without permits. And the property might be not zoned for a fourth unit, but they have this fourth unit. And so we have a housing crisis now, so that's why rent's high. That's why if you want to move and you want to stay within just about any municipality, it's going to be tough to find a new apartment in Rhode Island. I was in a position where if they couldn't legalize that unit, they had no other option but to dismantle it. And some of them were unsafe, which is no question. Get rid of it. No one should be living there. That's a hole in the wall that you were charging somebody rent for with. And some of them were like decent-ish apartments. It's just a zoning violation. If the person had the money and the funds and the know-how to go through getting a zoning relief, they could legalize that unit and they'd have an extra unit. But because they don't have the money to go through that process or the know-how to go through that process, they have to dismantle it. It's the cheapest kind of way of going about it. I think that a lot of laws out there, whether you like them or not, I think part of it is people not necessarily knowing where lines are. And that's why they kind of trip over them. But otherwise than that, I mean, for the most part, yeah. I mean, that's like the one that comes to mind. There's just a lot of things where you see folks that get roped up into some issue or another legally. And a lot of it is rooted in, I didn't know I couldn't do that. I didn't know that was a thing. And so you're like, all right. So if you think about what the purpose of, you know, charging someone in one capacity or another, that's probably not the person you should be worried about, the person who unintentionally landed themselves somewhere. But yeah, I think that's the only thing that comes to mind for sure.
Noah, do you have a law that...
It would just be...
None. You can't think of it? Okay.
Rob has so many laws in his mind.
So many laws.
So many laws.
So many laws. So many borders. So many non-laws that I kind of wish we had regulation around. Lewis, what's your question for Judge Garcia?
I have two questions, but they're both quick. I know that since like you're a lawyer and judge, you might go through a lot of stress. What's like one way you get through it.
Huh. One way I get through it. So there is quite a bit of stress involved for sure. So you hit that one. I internalize a lot of stuff. So I don't think I'm actually going to answer that question appropriately in the sense of, I don't think I have like a way of being like, all right, and then I just let it all out here. I think I should just bottle it down and hope for the best. Type of person deals with stress in a type of way where I let it go. So I'm not doing anything consciously. It's just kind of let it go. Recently, I don't know if you know about this, but my car was left on not blocks per se, because they didn't leave blocks. It was milk crates. So they took all four of my tires and rims and they left it on two milk crates.
Would you have preferred blocks?
I think so. I think that's more respectful.
Okay.
For blocks. Yeah. It is milk crates. Yeah. By the way, the milk crates held. I didn't think they were going to. They held. So, you know, shout out to the milk crates. Yeah.
I can tell about you, and I always could. Very easygoing. You can roll through anything.
Yeah. The second question is.
Yes.
I know, like, you say you want to chill and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. If you need an intern, you know, I'll.
To chill? You know, no, that's not to do. Now I got to, like, you want to be the intern to do nothing?
No, so that you can chill. He wants to take on your work.
Wow. All right. I thought he was going to be like, I want to be an intern into, like, doing nothing with you. And I'm like, all right, well, I got
to. Here's what I know about Lewis.
Yeah.
As soon as you start to chill, turn your back, he's going to try on the rope. Lewis is going to play with the gavel, and he's going to try on
20,
20 bucks, and I'll let you try the robe on.
Why do this one?
I got the robe on.
To try it on. I don't want y'all walking away with it.
Huh? The mallet.
You know what? You don't get a mallet. I got a friend gifted me a mallet because I made it. I think I sounded sad when I said, or I realized I wasn't getting one. But for 25 bucks, you get to try the robe on, and you can hit that mallet as hard as you want. I mean,
that sounds like a pretty good deal.
And yeah, all right. So maybe we get that done.
They want to know if you brought it with you.
No,
we can all take turns.
No, I didn't know that.
Cindy Liu, question for Judge Garcia.
Yes, in hindsight, so you've given us a lot of great advice about that, about what you would have done before. Is there something actionable that you would think that you wish you would have done at our age that we can start doing now?
Good question.
The study habits that I was talking about, just. Make sure you get yourself in a habit of pacing yourself out and not leaving things the last minute. And there's a lot of stress that you guys are going through now that is unnecessary. Because in the grand scheme of things, you look back, you're going to look back and be like, all right, that wasn't that difficult, but I did leave it till the 11th hour. And so I had a habit of doing that from as long as I can remember. And now I don't do that as much, but I do feel that same level of stress that I felt continuously since I was in sixth grade of like trying to get something done. And I think part of that could be avoided with better type of like study skills and time management and that type of stuff for sure. And also get a hobby, whatever the hell it is, get a nice hobby.
Do nothing. That doesn't sound like
it's not a hobby.
It sounds like an anti-hobby.
Yeah. No, I was just saying that's
you're
a,
saying
I should get a, I should have had a,
you
she said
get a hobby.
What I should have done or actionable for them to do.
Got it.
And
got
so
it.
I'm just saying all the things I wish I had done.
Okay.
Things worked out for me for sure. But I definitely worked harder to get to where I needed to be, than I had to. That whole idea of work, smarter, not harder is really something you should take to heart.
Welcome, Isaiah. Isaiah's branded. He's rocking the Steambox t-shirt today. Isaiah, if you could come up to the table and let's ask Judge Garcia your question.
All right, so Roberto said you do anime, right?
So that was in the sense that I
do anime.
Yeah. I don't know what that meant either. So I mean, I'm walking it back a little bit. I rock with the Dragon Ball Z since I was in middle school.
Right, I was going to ask you what's your most favorite anime.
That's it. Dragon Ball Z.
What's your least favorite? Almost like yo.
He starts and ends with Dragon Ball Z.
Least favorite.
Yeah, One Piece.
Least favorite. I'm trying to think if there was one where I was like,
if you're gonna pick an anime that you love, why is it the one where the first 200 episodes, it's just a guy walking on stairs to heaven or something like that? Like that's the whole first.
Are you blaspheming?
Oh man,
Dragon Ball Z. First of all, he was training. In a way.
Walking up the stairs.
Also, he came back from the afterlife. Yo, this guy came back from the dead and you're still giving him grief?
To our audience at home, if you haven't watched Dragon Ball Z, we encourage you to watch it. The first 200 episodes is dude walking up.
He sacrificed himself on more than one occasion. He had to die. How many times do you want him to die for your sins?
He gets revised every other
exactly.
There are
multiple times.
It's the same reason that I don't like Superman, and I think Superman's just a terrible character. It's real easy. I can make up an invincible with Cindy Lou today.
So let's just be clear. You don't like Superman, so you just don't like the immigrant story of a guy who comes from another place. And it makes it in the United States. You don't like the immigrant story. You don't like immigrants? Is that what you're saying?
Wait, can I?
I'm just saying, because, you know, I was born in the Dominican Republic. Maybe that's where this hate is coming from. Like Superman, I wasn't born here, and you resent that. Going on?
I'm going to say that is correct. Immigrants, I cannot stand.
All right.
The sight of immigrants and the smell of it.
This is
non-U.S. born citizens.
Yo, this is why your father treated you like trash when you're young.
What is your question for Judge Garcia? Come on.
All right.
Right, somebody said we're going to get canceled. This is not fun.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, just be clear. Other people in the room, how many folks are immigrants themselves? Show of hands. All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4. This is for the 5. All right, good. 6.
Puerto Rico doesn't count.
It does.
Puerto Rico
it does. Nothing. It's like
we are
nothing.
Indigenous.
This is horrible.
We're indigenous.
PR.
We're indigenous.
She chose her sides, and it's not with you.
You're indigenous to America, too.
In the Americas, because I was born in the Dominican Republic?
No, America, period. I don't know why the United States suddenly got rebranded America, but that's not what America.
You know what you're trying to do to dig yourself out of this hole is redefine
all right,
an immigrant. It's like, whatever. Yeah, it's not working. I'm just saying, for the folks who are listening, there's a room full of immigrants here. We're going to take care of Rob later.
And somebody pretending to be an immigrant just to
that's
pass
right.
along.
We're taking her on. That's right. We're taking her on.
What is the weirdest case or dumbest?
Dumbest case. The dumbest case. It's no longer a misdemeanor anymore. But before, operating on a suspended license was a misdemeanor. And so if you were operating on a suspended license, it was a misdemeanor. They changed the law so that the first two are violations, the third is a misdemeanor. But it's a petty misdemeanor, so it's a small crime. And so usually, you know, you might be hard up for cash or whatnot, but you might find somebody who racks up 4 or 5 of those over like their lifetime. There was a gentleman who racked up like 56 and never had a license and was like always driving recklessly and like half the time was drunk. And so like this is definitely a guy who should have been on the road to begin with for a whole bunch of reasons, but one of them was definitely didn't have a license. So at one point, he is told by the police department, he's like, listen, man, you need to cut this out or you're going to get arrested. You're going to go to jail. And he does it again. And then he gets arrested. And he goes before a judge. And the judge goes, I'm going to give you one more shot because this is the most OSLs I've ever seen in my life. If I see you here again, I'm going to send you to jail for 90 days. And he goes, judge, you'll never see me again. All right. He goes out. Within the day, he gets arrested. Now, this time he gets arrested on a little red scooter. And his whole defense was the scooter isn't a motor vehicle because it was a small scooter. So he was trying to make it say that it was an electric bike. It wasn't a motor vehicle by the general laws. He made me have to research this issue. It was definitely a motor vehicle based on how the general laws define a motor vehicle.
Does a scooter have a motor in it? An electronic scooter?
It was a moped. This was an actual moped.
Okay.
It was like a yellow moped, but he was trying to be like, it's a little scooter. I thought it didn't count. And so plot twist, the guy has one leg.
What? How do you ride a scooter with one leg? Man,
how do you drive the car with the one leg? Cause like you have to use
the other one.
Still leg?
Yeah. You just kind of, and also had like a prosthetic, but here's
okay.
This is where it got dumb because
still trying to picture a one legged man on a bike. Right, like
it was a moped, and he had the prosthetic.
Yeah, no, I got you.
You could win like
prosthetic,
that.
I got it.
But you could one leg it, a moped
on a butt.
Nah, man.
Oh, because it might go to the side.
Yeah.
What do you do? Like,
how
do you even get up?
He also was drinking, so one way or another,
he'd be ableist. I'm heading.
Yeah.
I know.
He got it. He got it done.
I've offended the undocumented community,
and now the handicapable.
Now I'm going after the handicapable.
So in any case, he has to turn himself in now because he got caught once again. He's going to do his 90 days. And so this is an older guy, but like he's been in and out. What he decides to do is that, all right, I am going to go to jail, but I'm going to go to jail prepared. So he starts putting a whole bunch of like pills and like other type of drugs in his wooden leg, cash, and a cell phone, and then he turns himself in because he's smart. He's gonna outsmart everybody. He just fills his wooden leg up with a whole bunch of stuff you're not supposed to have in prison. And sure enough, when he goes to the ACI, they pat him down, and they have to check his prosthetic leg, and they see all of this contraband. Now, if you try to smuggle in contraband to the ACI, now that's a felony. So the guy went from the dumbest misdemeanor possible, after like three warnings to like, don't do this, don't make us do this, to like catching like two felonies back to back, which trying to enter in contraband. So I don't even know what he did. He ended up doing like 6 months, I think, just based off of that. But that was the dumbest turn of events where everyone was like, hey, what happens next? He was like, oh, he tried to sneak in the contraband. You're like, so the reason I assumed he was drunk that day was because his moped was impounded, and right next to his moped was like a little water bottle.
Yeah.
And nobody checked the water bottle because he's this animated guy.
Yeah.
The police officer who made the arrest tells me later, he goes, hey, like a week later, we're throwing stuff away. It was full of vodka. Yeah. So this guy was just a wild mess from beginning to end. And he's probably still out there. He'll outlive us all, I'm sure.
Free my man, Ruben. Free Ruben.
It wasn't Ruben. I feel like if he said it, I would remember his name, but he's out there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. When was this?
This would have been a couple years back, so we're talking about at least 6-7 years back.
If I'm prison guard, I'm not even mad at it. It's too funny to be mad. I'd be like, oh, you. You know what I mean? I'd confiscate it, but I'd be like, get in there. You know? Desi, the Steambox champion of multiple generations and now in college. Desi, what is your question for Judge Garcia?
Okay, so... here's the thing.
That actually
is this your first time on a podcast?
No, that actually made me nervous. He's like, it's okay. Like, it's going to be a heavy question.
It is.
All right, go for it.
So here's the thing. I've never seen a homeless population be as bad as the past year, especially with a whole eviction in front of the state house. So I want to know, what was your opinion on the handling of that situation? Because when I was watching it play out, I feel like it could have been resolved much sooner and also more responsibly, because the issue was that a lot of people were saying, I'm freezing, like I have nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go in the homeless shelters. So how do you feel about
this? So the state house was interesting because part of that component was the fact that the reason they camped out in front of the state house was to protest. Because there was a group of folks that like were just protesting. I had feelings about that. The folks who were just protesting in front of the state house, folks who had places to go and were sleeping outside as a means of protest. That's separate from the folks, I think, the last time that you're talking about, where I think there were actually homeless folks that were recruited to go down there. Like, my understanding was they were like, hey, come down here. But in not in a bad way, but, like, we're going to have a showing. And they're already sleeping outside, so it's not like they were recruited from a warm place to the cold place, but they were said, hey, if you're going to sleep outside, go to the state house. We're trying to show this demonstration here. And so what ended up happening was the state evicted. You know, it's kind of a weird turn of phrase. They use eviction in that category, but that's how they termed it. Evicted the folks from the state house grounds. I was watching it from afar, reading papers. My understanding was that they had offered folks alternative places. The for you to have a cheap, there's no cheap apartment in the city of Providence anymore. This is just not a thing. And so part of that is because the limited amount of housing stock, part of it is because it's expensive to build. And so there's a lot of culpable folks there. Banks are culpable a little bit on that one. Construction costs are going up. There's a whole bunch of issues there.
This deserves its own conversation, sure. And I'd love to delve further into it.
Yeah.
As loud as you can, please. What's your question? I know you got somebody sleeping.
Where am I from? Born in the Dominican Republic. Family moved to New York when I was 6 months.
Where in DR?
San Pedro.
Okay.
That's all right. Fair enough. I left when I was 6 months, and I went back sporadically since then to now. So what I liked most about that is vacation mode. So it's like the beach, that type of stuff. But that's not like a fair representation of like what folks who were like actually, you know, born and raised there. But I was in Providence since I was like three-ish till now.
I want to get this on record.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend has been amazing. She is the best partner. And last week for an event, she made this pastelón. And she learned, right? She learned to make this because that's my jam. For those of you who don't know, for the world listening, it's this Latino lasagna. It's made with plátano, and it's got the rest of the lasagna stuff, but instead of pasta, it's plátano. What is the jam from Dominican Republic? What are you guys like? What's your jam from home?
Jam from home.
Yeah.
Like the dish that I like.
So I'm asking you, yeah, because it's easy to say I like the double cheeseburger at like Lux, but which is closed now.
Yeah.
But what's your Dominican jam?
Is this dude staring me down?
He's ready to fight you if you get this wrong. If you can
No, we're going with what I like.
Yeah.
By the way, Puerto Ricans don't own pastelones either.
I understand that. We actually call it piñón. I said pastelón just so you would understand what I'm talking about.
Quipas are like ground meat inside of it, and then it's fried.
It's the Dominican version of a Lebanese dish.
Yeah.
And it's made with minced beef and pork.
Oh, yeah. I've had some of that. They have this, you got there's a bakery on Broad Street over here in Central Falls that has that.
And it's so good.
All right.
And you put that little hot sauce in there, and that's the sancocho, but like the one that my mom makes.
Okay.
Like, not the sancocho that everybody else makes.
Shout out to your mom. Your parents are in Orlando.
Yeah.
They doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. Cam, what is your question for Judge Garcia?
How difficult do you think, like, after studying, how difficult do you think your bar exam was?
It was... the bar exam is different now than it was then. So the way for me was 6 hours of an exam, 3 a.m, 3 p.m, for 3 days in a row. So it was 6 hours, 6 hours, 6 hours. So 18 hours between a 3 day stretch. And I barely remember it. It's kind of like you went in and out and then you felt violated, but you didn't know exactly what happened. And then I had to wait 6 months to find out my results.
How are there so many dumb lawyers then?
What do you mean?
If you got to go to pass this crazy test to be called a lawyer.
Because what you mean to say by dumb is a moving target. Because if they got through law school and passed the bar exam, they're not dumb to the same level that you would say it to somebody else who has no skills. They might be lazy.
Yeah.
They might be lazy.
fair enough.
But not dumb.
I feel like you might have seen this in your
head.
All right. I'm sorry. Amateur wrestler. I'm sorry. I know you hate the word amateur, but by that I mean you're not getting paid currently as a professional. You're not a professional wrestler. So what are your career ambitions?
I want to be a trauma surgeon.
You want to be a trauma surgeon?
Nice.
He said there's a lot of lawyers, not a shortage. There is a shortage of many fields of doctor. I'm going to go Keith and then wrap up with Chloe. Keith, what's your question for Judge Garcia?
One case, there was like, you were defending the guy. I think that's how it works. Like, you represent the guy. You're supposed to make sure he doesn't go to jail or something like that. What was one where it was like, yeah, you got to go to jail. Like, it was so bad.
No.
There was no one?
No. So if I'm defending someone, the idea is not so much... First of all, I haven't defended anybody who committed something, like, so heinous that maybe I would be tempted to have that thought. But the whole idea with representing anyone is not about whether they did it or not, or whether they're culpable or not. When you're defending someone in criminal court, it's whether or not the state could prove it. So... it's really about holding the state's feet to the fire to make sure that they could prove their case in any sense before, you know, otherwise they could run through folks and people should get jail sentence after jail sentence. And so I had a case where I told a guy, you know, they have everything they need to convict you and you should probably take this plea deal. And he was like, you know, very nonchalant, let it ride. And we had the trial, and they made a small mistake during the course of that trial that I was able to capitalize, and then I got a not guilty afterwards. And afterwards, he's like, yeah, you should have believed in yourself. And then, like, he walks out. He owes my firm money. But putting that aside, that was one of those cases where at no point did I look at him and be like, you deserve to go to jail, as much as it was, you might get a worst-off sentence if we were to go to trial. And so I was just giving him what his options were. But... if you're ever in a position where you're a lawyer, you're representing someone, and your thought is, nah, you need to go to jail, you should not be representing that person.
But what if it's, like, so
bad? Then you don't take those cases.
Keith, if you were representing O.J. Simpson, and you know he did it, would you walk up to the judge with a napkin that says he did it on it, just casually?
Hell yeah. Pause.
As his lawyer?
As his lawyer, I'd be like,
you betray.
I'd be like...
But then you wouldn't be, like, that literally would be booting you out of the profession. Like, that'd be your last act.
He did it. I was gonna tell you.
I
can't do anything.
I don't know. I don't know. Free my man Raul with the scooter and the one leg. Do you have any last shout outs before we go?
Whatever version is put out there, it's heavily edited and doesn't represent this, like, you know, said
unedited
at all. I'm just putting that out there that if you find anything troubling on this, it wasn't me. This is actually AI program that these kids made and pretended that it's Deone Garcia. Deone Garcia is in a closet somewhere. Pray for it. Prayers for Deone Garcia.
Our AI is broken. Our AI is broken.
Up in space.
One last question for you. Is there anywhere that somebody should follow you or look up your work? I know, unlike some of our other guests, they don't need to, like, they promote stuff on social media, but is there anything that you want to direct attention to?
All my social media is blocked. Don't try to friend me. I'm not going to accept.
true lawyer right there.
That's exactly, when his sister introduced us, that's exactly what he said to me. This has been another Steambox podcast with the Warriors from Central Falls. Warriors, please say peace out to the world.
Peace out.